It's time to turn the spotlight on local, national, and international affairs, plus some goss and scandal. And here's the man that does that so well, Mitchell Dye. Brought to you by Corio Waste Management, station sponsor.
And good morning. Welcome to a Tuesday morning with Mitchell Dye. With you on Mitchell's front page. Thanks very much to Fred and Cheryl. Really good program once again this morning. Coming up today, Elaine Carbines from the G21 is going to be joining us in the studio a little bit later on in the program to talk all things that are happening in Geelong. But I wanted to talk about this because Q&A was back for the year last night. I was watching it there on the ABC. And I've got to say, I love the new set design that they've got. They had things being projected onto screens behind the panelists, and it all looked very vibrant. And as I said last year on the show here, talking about Q&A, things were perhaps starting to get a bit stale on that show, relying a lot on pre-scripted questions and that type of thing. But it was good to see them getting a little bit more interactive because things were starting to get a bit mundane, and they seemed to be answering more questions from Twitter, at least in the start of the show. So there was some element there of being a bit more live and unscripted, but unfortunately that sort of seemed to taper off as the night went on. I mean, the promos just always make a big deal about how the audience sets the agenda and it's up to them and it's going to be a complete surprise, but obviously the producers are the ones that set the agenda for the conversation. The audience submits the questions and then the producers choose the agenda that they want to run with. And there was even a case last night of one guy that didn't ask the question that was pre-scripted for him or written by him and then approved, and he got shut down pretty quickly, so much for going off script. But that said, there were plenty of interesting discussions last night. I mean, incidentally, last week on this program, I was very pleased to tick off my bucket list of having everyone who was on the Geelong Q&A from last year on the program. We've spoken to Richard Di Natale, of course, the Green Senator for Victoria, Darren Lyons, Geelong Mayor Sarah Henderson, the member for Corangamite, Richard Miles, member for Corio, and of course, Elaine Carbines, who will be joining us a little bit later on. But just on last night, firstly, I think Jackie Lambie was there for a bit of colour and movement to sort of shock the audience in times, and I don't think her comments disappointed. She was very quick to say, oh, I don't think the Prime Minister's going to make it to the end of the week. That got a nice reaction from the audience. But just to see her there talking about things like the Prime Minister's security detail and then comparing that to what she does with her car, with her boots on, as she said, I mean, she was just treated like an expert when clearly she's just a senator from Tasmania. So I don't think you would go to her to talk about advice for the Prime Minister's security detail. I mean, she's only been in the Senate for 6 months or just over now. Then there was Barnaby Joyce on the panel last night. I mean, he probably spoke reasonably well, given that he was the only person on the panel supporting the Prime Minister. It was him onto four others. There was a tweet from Chris Kenny, who is a right-wing columnist, and he said, in a big innovation this year, Q&A is going for assorted misfits and lefties, plus host versus one mainstream conservative. Hashtag fresh. But then Jonathan Holmes, of course, from Media Watch last year, he was replaced by Paul Barry, chimed in with this remark. Abbott's still talking rubbish. For example, we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem. Of course there's a revenue problem, and he puts "of course" in capital letters in that tweet. So plenty of discussions on Twitter, and of course the costs and the expenses versus spending money was hot on the agenda last night. And we spoke about this yesterday on the program, about taxes and big corporations, and that yes, we think that big corporations are probably using legal loopholes to get their money out of Australia so they don't have to pay tax, perhaps putting the burden unnecessarily onto small business. But I do think we have to look at the cost of doing business here in Australia. It's still alarming to me to see how many small businesses close down or just can't make it and become unsustainable. And do we just flat out want more taxes, more costs to them for doing businesses? Jackie Lambie last night, one of her big ideas was a transaction tax. I don't know what that would mean, but so far not a fan, I've got to say. If you make it harder for people to sell their goods or move things around, then that's not great to be in business, and that's probably not the thing that we need to get our unemployment down, which is rising, incidentally. Then there was, of course, Wayne Swan on the panel. He had some interesting things to say at times. At other times, he was sort of just backing over again of the Rudd-Gillard years and just hearing the same rhetoric about why they were great. I mean, if I hear the words AAA credit rating one more time, it seems to be his response to everything vaguely to do with the economy. Then there was Larissa Waters, of course, from the Greens. One thing she mentioned that really piqued my interest was when she was asked about the concept of closing down coal in Australia and this resulting in quite a big cut to our GDP because there are so many exports that we have with coal. And she said that we needed to export renewable energy instead. This remark seemed very popular from the audience. There was a bit of a round of applause at that moment. But to me, I just found it a bit strange. I mean, can you really replace the entire coal industry with just exporting renewable energy? Does that actually hold water? I'd like to get an expert on to talk about that. I mean, I like renewable energy. I like technology. But I think you have to be realistic about where the actual numbers are and where the money's coming from in our economy. I mean, we spoke on this show last year to Ross Garneau, who is an expert on all things to do with the economy and climate change, and he said that China continues to open more power stations. And even Barack Obama last year had that landmark deal with China to get them to reduce its emissions, and that was heralded by a lot as China sort of transitioning away from coal. But what we saw with that deal was that China's emissions were still going to be increasing for a few years to come, then they would sort of plateau off, taper off, and then after that they would start going down. So they still need to get coal from somewhere, and they still want to buy it from us. And I accept, yes, that coal isn't there forever. As a technology, it doesn't have a bright future. And yes, we have to look at where the future is going to be. But I don't think in one go you can just say, well, we'll cancel all the coal exports and replace it with exporting renewable energy, whatever that means. I mean, are we going to export solar panels to China or wind farms? I just can't see them wanting to buy it from us when they already make it in a far cheaper way and also in a way that's far superior. So I thought that was just a bit strange. But someone can ring in and say where I'm going wrong with that, but just to replace an entire coal industry with simple renewables seemed a bit simplistic from the senator there. And then there was John Madigan, of course, that independent senator who was formerly part of the DLP, and you could definitely see some of those DLP values going into what he was saying. For example, the strong protectionism that he had. He was a very big rap for the Collins class submarines, which of course we're looking at replacing with those Japanese submarines. I thought he actually had a few honest perspectives at times, especially saying, looking at the people in rural and regional Australia and what they're actually talking about. So I thought that was a bit refreshing from him. But that was my take on last night's Q&A. Pretty good way to start the year, I thought. Loved the new set design and plenty of interesting discussion, especially on Twitter. And I think Stephanie Asher was quite active on Twitter last night, so you might have to talk to her about some of her tweets maybe next Monday. But if there is one thing worth watching for Q&A, I think it would have to be next week, because broadcaster Alan Jones is going to be on. Now, he's not so much of a household name in Victoria, I wouldn't say, but in New South Wales and Queensland, he is a very influential figure. And according to a few panels on election night, this was covered on Media Watch by the ABC last night, incidentally, they say that Campbell Newman lost the election because of Alan Jones talking against his policies and his views on coal seam gas and fracking. So I would be very interested to see what Alan Jones has to say on Q&A next week. But the main thing is he doesn't shy away from any controversy, and he's happy to put his name to his views, and he puts his money where his mouth is, at least. And if you don't agree with him, that's fine, but at least it makes for a colourful discussion. So I'm looking forward to him being there and perhaps putting a cat amongst the pigeons. Now, there was, of course, yesterday's press club address, which I watched parts of live, and this was to be make or break for the Prime Minister. And for me, I think it maybe stabilised things just a little bit, because finally we were hearing from the man himself rather than the media coverage and what was reportedly happening, and then, of course, all the leaks. I mean, when he said we don't want to make a bad situation worse, that was exactly what I was saying yesterday, in that what party has changed leaders in government and been successful? Is there something to take from the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd years, or all the premiers that New South Wales had in a short space of time? And I think that, yes, they have a lot of problems at the moment, but there is still something left there in terms of credibility compared to the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd years. And he was right to point that out, I think. I mean, I just don't think that changing leaders is the way to survive, but I know people disagree with me on that. And the problem is that big parts of the community have stopped listening now. So this speech is going to be difficult to sort of have any ripples with the public, because people like Bill Shorten released a bingo card before the speech, and it had key phrases on it, like intergenerational theft. And unfortunately, all the key phrases on that card were used just about. I mean, it just sort of showed that perhaps we're sort of going back to the same slogans that won the election. But the Prime Minister was already being mocked on Twitter right from the very beginning of that speech. And there were a lot of people out there wanting to say that it was outrageous and that sort of thing. So not much has really changed since the speech happened in that regard. But I think we did sort of just put a bit of a stabiliser on. But now I see that Julie Bishop perhaps is going to challenge for the leadership, because she hasn't decided to rule anything out. Although that said, I don't think you would take anyone's word for verbatim in politics. But paid parental leave scheme, that's off the table now, apparently, which we spoke about yesterday from Josh Frydenberg. So off the table, which is disappointing, because yet another promise has been broken from the election. And I always say, if it was worth doing, then why not carry it through all the way? So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed to hear about the paid parental leave scheme being scrapped. Not because I thought it was a good scheme, but because this is yet another broken promise. But we're going to be speaking to an expert on all things with paid parental leave. We're going to be joined by Mari Coleman, AO. And she was the first female to head a Commonwealth government statutory agency, now retired. She's also a social policy expert. And she'll be joining us to talk about the paid parental leave, what it means and what her thoughts are. And I'd be interested to hear whether she thought that the scheme that's now been axed was a worthwhile scheme, or if what they're proposing now, which seems to be more in line with funding childcare, could be the way to go. So some people, mainly Tony Abbott supporters, are calling the speech yesterday very good, whereas others, like the former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally, called it a disaster, saying it relied too heavily on slogans, as Bill Shorten seemed to be trying to put out. So time will tell for me which one of those it was, and depending on how backbenchers take it in. I mean, that's going to be the big thing, because I think that speech in a lot of ways is talking to the backbenchers and saying, would you really like to support a leadership challenge? Is it the way to go? Do we want to go back to Rudd-Gillard-Rudd? That's a big thing for me. So I'll have to wait and see what the backbenchers think. Now, in the Northern Territory, the Liberals there, they've dumped a leader, but it's not actually Tony Abbott. Instead, it's actually the Chief Minister there, Adam Giles. He was the equivalent of our Premier there, and he's been dumped as the Northern Territory's Chief Minister after a late-night leadership spill last night. It broke quite late. I think it was about 12:30 a.m. where I just saw all of a sudden Adam Giles has gone. But the Primary Industries Minister and the member for Katherine, whose name is Willem Wester van Holt, who's aged 52, held a press conference at 1 a.m. to say that he had seized control. So the Chief Minister of the Northern Territory is now Willem Wester van Holt, which they were talking about on the news this morning. And there was a bit of backwards and forwards. There's a few issues there, because I'm not completely up with the Northern Territory politics, which caused the coup to happen. But from memory, Adam Giles only came to power after another challenge, and it was only just recently as well. So perhaps a bit unstable there in the Northern Territory Parliament. Although I would say that if you have a small parliament like they do, I think there was something like 7-9 or something in favour of moving to this new premier, or this new chief minister. I think that when you have such a small parliament, perhaps the dynamics are different to having over 100 members in one parliament. And just before we move on to Trish from Talking Heads, One Nation leader Pauline Hanson apparently is going to be making a political comeback. At the moment in the Queensland election, she is leading the seat of Lockyer by more than 300 votes. So they're counting that seat at the moment. It is continuing, but apparently, according to the ABC's election expert Anthony Green. She's had a significant swing towards her, and she's running to win the seat, of course. The Liberal National Party candidate who she's up against, whose name is Ian Ricketts, has held that seat since 2004. And at 6:45pm last night, when counting finished, Miss Hanson was leading by about 365 votes. So if she wins, she could be a fourth crossbench MP, causing a hung parliament in Queensland, possibly. We're still waiting to see what happens in seats like Whitsunday. Counting continues. If anything comes through this morning, I'll let you know, particularly in relation to a leadership challenge federally, because I understand there's now 2 days of cabinet meetings and they're sort of working a few things out. So we'll see if anything comes of that. Now, Trish from Talking Heads, she joins us every single fortnight. And of course, she has a song that she chooses to accompany her segment. Today, her topic is Life in a Small Town. And the song she's chosen is Work for Me by the Dunes. So let's have a listen to that.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.